Hello! Welcome back to the Long Distance Love Bombs podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy Goldberg, and today's guest is my friend Amber Hawken, and it's another episode involving Team Never Giver Upper, my monthly membership group. It's a live Q&A conversation. We do this once a month with an expert, and this month it's Amber Hawken. She is one of my dear friends. We used to live together. We've run a retreat together, and legitimately, she is one of the most powerful, transformative healers that I have seen firsthand. She is legit. She knows her stuff. And in this conversation, we just tackle a whole bunch of random shit. Lots of laughter, lots of giggles. Amber talks about the power of forgiveness, how to heal yourself, how to forgive yourself. Tears are shed, powerful questions are asked and answered. It's a really cool, fun conversation. I think you're going to dig it. And if you want to know more about Team Never Giver Upper, there's a link in the show notes below. You can click that and I will send you some information. It's a monthly conversation with me. I lead a workshop, and then once a month we have an expert on. And we also have a membership, what's it called? A group text message. So in your pocket, everybody's vibing, supporting, encouraging, holding each other accountable. It's a good group of humans, good vibes. So yeah, check it out and thank you for listening. It's fun because like when I have to search for the buttons to push, it builds suspense, right? And you're like, oh, have we started yet? Have we begun? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amber Hawken, welcome to the podcast. This is the Team Never Giver Upper membership group. We meet once a month for a workshop. We have like a private chat, and then once a month I trick an expert guest into coming on and answering questions and being on the podcast. And it's you. You're the expert.
Yay!
So these guys have questions for you, but before we dive in, do you mind giving a little background as to who you are and what you do to kind of frame the and like potentially to validate the description that I gave them about what you do? Because I might have been
tell them.
I said you were, I don't remember exactly, but I was like, Amber is really good at dealing with trauma, and she's does therapy, and she's really powerful, and she's good with pain. I think it was very vague.
Okay. I can go with that. Would you like me to begin?
Can you just do something that is better than I'm good with pain? And those, because sure. This will be a podcast. So like for those that are listening that don't know you, like what's your deal?
Absolutely. So firstly, Jay, thank you so much for having me on. It's always an honor. I absolutely love everything that you're doing. It's always done with so much soul, effort, embodiment. And I mean it. As all jokes aside, you're fucking phenomenal, and I'm glad to be here. So all of you beautiful women who are inspired to join Jeremy, I take my hat off to you. It's a beautiful thing to experience, and it's an honor to be here. So a bit of my background from Jeremy's vague telling. What I commonly introduce myself as to make it easier is that I say that I'm a holistic behavioral therapist. So what that kind of means is that it's an easier way of saying that I have a plethora of different trainings and certifications and professional experience and qualifications in trauma therapy of different kinds, from regression therapy to inner child work to somatic healing, energy work. I am a master NLP practitioner, a deep state repatterning therapist. I have a diploma in mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm obsessed with understanding the beautiful, magnificent workings of our nervous system, our emotions, our mind, how it works. I also like to explore different dimensions of consciousness. I work with the breath. Sometimes I work with plant medicine. I work with a lot of cathartic experiences in retreats, and I love hands-on stuff. And I'm very down to earth. I don't really like wearing pants. I love coffee. I like drinking green juice. I love sex, adventure, laughter, and I think that joy is a form of healing. So that's me in a nutshell. I'm also a radiation therapist. I studied medicine for a bit, but I got bored of that and I wanted to go like to the, you know, I felt like we're treating symptoms and not causes. So I went to university for a couple of years and did that too. So yeah.
And you were like a physical therapist, personal trainer?
Oh yeah. I studied exercise physiology and was a personal trainer for a couple of years. That's fun. Did that
Man,
too.
you've lived like eight lives
I
already.
know. If you can't tell, I had a part of my traumatic upbringing of moving out of home at 14 years old because my mum was an addict. My stepmom was pretty abusive. There was a lot of abuse at home and turned into hyper independence and over functioning. And I've had to work that down to create a lot of balance in my heart over the years. So, hence all of the things.
Yeah, so you left home at 14, your mom was an addict, and then that kind of led you towards the path of personal development and self-growth and all that stuff.
I think it actually it didn't for some time. I was, believe it or not, it's a very boring and unflattering driver of little things that my stepmom didn't give me when I was little. Like she didn't let me use the shampoo and conditioner at home, or I had to eat the shitty leftover sandwiches, or it was things like that that I felt like I missed out on, that I remember having this agreement with myself that I never wanted to go without. And that in the consciousness of a young kid is powerful, but can turn destructive if you don't know what that driving force is. And then that really led me to kind of combine like a very boring, like, right, what's going to make me a lot of money and is nerdy, geeky, sciencey that I love and can help me work with people. And it led me to radiation therapy, like cancer therapy. I loved it. I had a lot of death in my upbringing of both cancer and suicide. So understanding, I was very familiar with pain and grief. It wasn't something scary to me. It was very interesting. So that's where I went there. And then when I was a radiation therapist, I saw so much dismissal of well-being. And because I used to play soccer for Queensland, I was very healthy growing up, and we couldn't afford like the cool snacks that all the kids got. So we ate fruit and veg, you know, and I was really healthy as a result of that. And I played a lot of sport and I was really healthy as a result of that. And so when we worked in cancer therapy, I would see what we fed and how we treated and how we guided patients, like saying, don't exercise, like because you're too tired, and just little things around well-being that it was started to question what we were really doing in the system and how we could better treat ourselves as wholesome beings on our mind and our emotions, as well as our body, as well as not just being experts in sick therapy, but also well-being. And then that led me into human behavior, which led me into somatic intelligence, like body, mind, connection, dis-ease, which led me just to keep exploring that more and more and more. And I find it really interesting to understand how a human being can reach deep levels of fulfillment and understand what is required and how simple it can be to actually not suffer. Because I think it's criminal that we're not taught how to breathe and how to think and how to feel in ways that would prevent us suffering in life.
Well said. Well,
Thanks.
good. That was a good summary of your own life. Yeah. Does anybody have questions for Ams? And then also, if you do have questions, you can put them in the chat and I can call on you to try to keep this orderly. If not, I can just pepper Amber with random questions about her personal life and our past. She can share embarrassing anecdotes about when she lived with me, and it could be a whole other ride.
Absolutely. Anything is welcome. Absolutely anything. Nothing's on the table with me, so go for your life.
Tracy?
Hey. Since we were just starting, I didn't pop it in the chat, so just gonna just go with it. But I was curious what you have as far as like rituals, whether daily, monthly, weekly, whatever, that are requirements for you maintaining a balance with the energy work that you're doing and onboarding from, you know, obviously we have boundaries and then we have to like hold space for other people and things like that. So, what are your practices specifically that help you move through the energy space that you work in?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. I'm a firm believer that structure gives us freedom. So I have daily practices as well as things that I do every week, monthly, and every 90 days. They're absolutely in my calendar. So I do, and they're interchangeable based on if I'm feeling depleted or if I'm feeling like I have a ton of energy or depending on my workload. My non-negotiables is to support my emotional base and do really simple shit that makes me really happy. Like it is like a personal requirement of mine to like laugh and enjoy my life before I do anything else every day, anything at all. And I think that is the most important therapy in energy work as a supporter, as a space holder, because it nourishes and supercharges the part of us that lives and breathes to exist as love and give love. So I think that is so important. That can be anything from watching the sunrise to like going and getting a yummy coffee and walking along the beach or doing some yoga or listening to Eminem at 6 a.m., which I did this morning. Or like, you know, my partner and I, he's amazing because he's hilarious and we're often joking and gross and funny in the mornings and reading some like a fantasy book. And these are practices that interchange from day to day of feeling like what I feel like. But one thing that I do every single day, and it might not be first thing in the morning, although I do encourage it, is breath work. So I'll do coherent breathing without a shadow of a doubt, because it brings our body, our mind, our emotions, our nervous system into balance. And it's from that state that we can both unload stress, but also get ourselves into such a powerful space of balance within that we can embrace life rather than feeling like we have to brace ourselves and push through. I'm also, when it comes to energy work, what I find when I think about the times when it's been more difficult, like on my day to day, it doesn't really impact me. But if I say I do a big workshop or I'm running a retreat afterwards, I think it's preparation before. It's looking after your well-being and nervous system always and all the time, because when you're transmuting energy, like if people are purging or they're shifting and there's energy work going on in a room, you're holding space for that. The person, the facilitator, needs to know how to move that energy through themselves. And if you don't, you'll probably get like a big headache, or you're very heavy, or you get very tense, or you notice seven sensitivities, like light sensitivity, sound sensitivity. You might hear a loud noise and just be like, and like, do you know what I mean? It's kind of that wired, exhausted. And that happens when you haven't prepared and looked after your well-being beforehand. So I think that like the lesson in all of this work is fucking look after yourself, like truly in every way, shape or form. And then if you need to do that extra work, have support. So I know after workshops or my support staff on retreat or events, they're there either hands-on, energetically, water, hydration, all of the things that my human self needs as well as my, you know, energy clearing might need. Like my right-hand man, Kurt, is always there helping me move and shift energy. If we're in like a big group setting or a cathartic process, we're doing that. The practice of that, I guess, is for yourself, is understanding that energy is moving in all directions through us, especially up and down, like the biggest communicator of our entire physical body, which is our nervous system, so up and down our spine, and learning to ground yourself, like on the earth, like ground your energy so you get out of here and transfer it down, and know that there's energy moving, and consciously bring your attention to it, is actually very, very powerful. Just to land your attention on the energy moving and imagine it moving, and imagine, like, you know, either your mind opening up or your feet moving energy through, actually helps the process of it moving. And it's an effortlessness, not like a force. That was a very long answer. Hope it helped.
Yeah. So it was good, because I know that a lot of the work you do with clients is deep, and you know, you talk about trauma and really emotional stuff. Do you have any practices like immediately after a call or a conversation that helps you to sort of shed that or not take that on?
I think it's been a learning as a practitioner of my own work in life, like my own personal stuff, to appreciate the bigger picture. That trauma is perspective, that pain is something that's very normal and natural and a growth process. And what that does is it helps me become detached but not disassociated with the person I'm in front of. So I tend to not take it on. And if I find it's a really deep session, I'll burn sage and Palo Santo with me in front of me. I'll clear my own energies. And again, I'll go back to the physical practices. I'll drink water. I'll reground myself. I'll put my bare feet on the ground and I'll breathe. It's a really, I think everything comes back to the repetition of bringing your nervous system, your body, your breath, your emotions back into balance, because the energy will then move through you to clear that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's kind of the same thing in a smaller form.
Yeah. I was reminded of an experience when I was in Australia hosting a retreat with you, and something random and unusual happened on our retreat. And I was curious, is that something you would be comfortable discussing or no?
Totally. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Do you want me to introduce it further or do you want to?
Yeah, go for it. Go, whatever. Honestly, nothing's on the table.
So Amber and I hosted a retreat last year in Australia, and her ex-partner was the yoga teacher, right? He was like doing the morning yoga, and then halfway through, I'm laughing now because we've had some space, but halfway through this retreat, Amber comes up to me and is like, "Jay, I'm all right, but," and I was like, "Oh no, oh God." Because like when you lead with that, everything's fine, but something has occurred, right? And she's like, "Yeah, and you, do you want to take over?" But you said like, "I'm good. Like, we'll finish the retreat and then.
I don't know what I said. Can you remind me?
You were like, "I just got a text message from a stranger who told me," I don't know how much detail you want to go into, but like essentially your partner at the time who was working on our retreat had been unfaithful, let's say.
Then
he was still there teaching yoga at the retreat where people had paid money to hang out with us and do personal development, and it was kind of like a clusterfuck for a minute, for me at least, where I was like, well, that's didn't see that coming, right? And so it was this unexpected event.
Yeah.
That just came when you were talking about like energy and all that. Like, I think this is a really practical real world example where you were forced to deal with it and like use your tools and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't want to spend a long time on it because I know there's questions and like this is maybe not the whole point of this, but.
Yeah, cool. It's a really good example, and thanks for bringing it up. So, yeah, in short, I received a text message from a woman who I'm super grateful to. And she's like, "I think I'm talking to your boyfriend on Bumble," which is like a dating app. And I was like, "Oh yeah, cool." So I rang her, confirmed details. And I was like, oh, what a relief, because I'd been suspicious of this, right? And I was in a situation where I'd been doubting myself, thought I was crazy, had really ignored my intuition, and I felt extreme relief while feeling embarrassed and hurt and all of those really disgustingly like ashamed. I'm teaching this retreat, how could, you know, all of these different things. And I just thought, well, this is real life. Like the reason that we're at this retreat is because we don't know what to do in these circumstances. So what a beautiful opportunity to, in real life, show people what we can do differently. And so I told Jaren, Jaren's like, "Okay, what do you need?" Like any beautiful friend would. And, you know, "What do you need?" And I was like, "Nothing. I'm just going to tell him to leave and we'll go from there." So I did that. And I remember we're like mid session and you just see this like guy walk out the back behind
everyone. So we're facing all of the participants teaching, and they're looking at us, and then behind them in a place they can't see, he like left the building literally. So we could see, but they,
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but he begged on his knees and like begged and begged and begged and begged not to leave. And it was very like, it took every, and I'm just sharing this because I don't want to be like, yep. I was like, get out. Like, I was like, you have to go. And quietly whispering like, you need to leave. And he's like on his knees, like bawling his eyes out. Give me another chance. All of this, like every, like promising everything. And when you're in that trauma position and when you're triggered in trauma, all my mind wanted to do was be like, give him another chance. Like, it's a lie. I didn't want to believe it. Like, all of this was going on inside of me. And I had to dig with every fucking ounce of courage I had to be like, you have to leave. Because in my head, I was like, we could heal. We can make, do you know what I mean? Like all that bullshit that goes on. Anyways. And that was really hard. And at the same time, I used the courage from all of the participants to be there. I was like, if they're here and they're doing this, then I can do this. And I kind of leveraged off that. Anyway, so we left and then we told everyone. And they were like, what? And it was a beautiful, because it's this paradox, right? Of honoring that there's pain, there's grief, there's hurt, there's triggering from the past, there's processing, there's anger for me to release and honor, there's hurt for me to release and honor, and the bigger picture, which is like, this is played out for me for whatever reason, for a different patterning, and I get to rewrite this story. I get to heal from this and never allow this to happen again. And what can I do in real time to ensure that this doesn't get stuck in my being and in my body and become and feed the unconscious pain body of like the wounded part of us all? Like, how can we bring healing to this? So I just use breath. I use honesty. I used openness. And I did like, I did place aside some of what I would normally do, like for the sake of, you know, not taking over the retreat. I didn't like go and lose my shit entirely. But afterwards I did, Jer and I were like walking through Byron Bay and we're in the shop. And I remember he turned around and he was like, oh, and he looked at me and I just had like these tears pouring down my face. And I was like, I'm okay. I'm just, it's just coming out. And
we were in like a gift shop, like a trinket store. And I had found some weird quirky thing and spun around to show her this adorable thing. She was just quietly crying her eyes out.
Yeah.
But you're good at that. Is like, if it has to come out, it has to come out. Even if it's in a gift shop in Byron Bay.
Absolutely. And I think that that's really important, is to honor the expression and to never, ever suppress our feelings, because they turn into toxic versions like anger. If we suppress it, we'll turn into aggression, maybe violent aggression or passive aggressiveness internally, or spiral into helplessness, or suppression of our needs or neglect of our own desires will turn into like, there's so much information out there, especially like Gabor Mate is probably my favorite mentor on this. And I know Jer and I like absolutely froth off him. And I peed my pants with excitement when Jeremy got me into the lecture of Gabor Mate when we were in Costa Rica together. I actually was like, I love you so much. So his work is really profound in this, of understanding that our body is such a beautiful communicator of our emotions and what we really need to honor and understand and express within ourselves. And so that's the work that I did afterwards, both on retreat and honoring afterwards, with support of other facilitators too. Is that enough info on that?
Yeah, that was wonderful. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I think it was relevant as like an example that, because you often see and hear people that are teaching, you know, it's like, here's the lesson that I've learned and here's the thing, but you don't often hear the messy, like unexpected nonsense that occurs. So thank you for sharing.
Totally. And yeah, also know that even though that happened, and I think just on that, Jay, you just reminded me, remember on the way home, I was like, I had doubted myself so much and I had allowed myself to kind of go in and out and really abandon myself in that relationship for quite some time. And I'll share this with you just to understand like the depths of what we can get into, even though I'm doing this work. And I think it's really difficult sometimes to imagine like, how could they possibly get themselves in situations or be so human? It was like, I was cheated on when I was pregnant. And then I went and had a termination with this person. And it was like, it was really painful. And I remember saying to Jer, I laugh now and I feel like sadness, the fact that I questioned it. I was like, I remember really basically within more or less words saying, my feelings are valid, right? Do you remember that? And I'm like, this is like, like, it's okay to be upset about this, isn't it? Because when you ignore your intuition for long enough, you don't trust your feelings, and that's a very dangerous place to be. So expression is so normal, and it's so important to connect with our body and listen to ourselves and trust that. And it's also okay to ask for a reflection from people you trust.
Yeah, well said. Okay, Maddie, let me unmute you.
Hey.
Hey.
That was crazy. That was really good. I'm sort of just processing a little bit. But my question is to do with, I'm feeling a bit of a tension between like presence in the moment and planning. I'm kind of feeling like, for me, I often plan as a distraction from like what's going on for me right now. But also, while I'm trying not to distract myself, I'm now not making any plans. So I guess I'm really struggling between the two.
Cool. Anyone else ever procrastinated?
Yeah, same.
So I'm a queen at it. But here's my thoughts on this, Maddie. And thank you. Thanks for asking that question. So here's the thing. When we make something a thing, even if it's an important thing, even if it's a dream, even if it's a goal, if we make it a thing and we're like, this thing is really important, you know, I'm going to do this thing and I've got to get all these things done, and we make it a thing, it becomes a thing. And there is a creation of stress and tension around it that we then try to alleviate with planning it, right? Which doesn't work, because then we're often in the energy of stress or scarcity to get there. But I have the full belief that, and this comes back to my practices of like choosing things that really bring me joy and make me happy and get me into the energy of feeling full and alive before I do shit. Like, energy before action is my recipe to all my clients. Energy before action. Shift that. Put yourself in the energy of having the thing that you desire. You must give yourself permission to have the thing you desire. I believe that all our little dreams and desires, aside from the ones that are conditioned that tell us, like, you know, Botox is going to make us happy and shit like that, like, you know, common sense here, but the things that we're like, fuck, man, I want to, you know, create a farm that grows marijuana and strawberries, and I want to sell it to make like ice cream for people who don't know how to make ice cream. I don't know, like, the things that you think are crazy ideas to stuff that you love, I think they're universal messengers that, like, life is like an amazing race, and life kind of gives you clues. Like, the universe gives you little clues by planting like a little dream in your heart, a little dream in your mind. And I think we need to give ourselves much more permission to have those dreams. And when we give ourselves permission to be like, fuck yeah, that's, the universe is sending me one of those clues, and I'm going to be like, yes. We must give ourselves permission to have it, to relax this sense of scarcity, right? So give yourself permission to relax the sense of scarcity, or the relax and dissolve that sense of doubt. It's like, cool. If I've got that dream or desire, it means the universe is telling me to create it. And it's not telling me to stress about it, fear it won't happen, doubt myself, and then go and do it from a place of like push. It's telling me, this is yours. Have it. Like, here it is. So be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to give myself permission to have this. And the most easy way to do that is to get in the energy of having it, because it lifts your vibration, which lifts your mental state, which creates innovative problem solving and allows for thinking and flow that is not accessible when you're in a state of like, I want this thing, but how do I do it? And do I have to make all the plans? And am I going to have it? And is it going to be good enough? And people are going to reject me? And what if I don't make the money? And blah, 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 blah. So get yourself into the state of openness and allowing to have it. Like, you've got an imagination, you've got feelings, dream it, visualize it, see it. And I'm not saying like sit there and think about something and it'll manifest. I'm saying get in the energy of it and then go, cool, what's one thing that I can do that's going to take me one step closer to creating that? Just one thing, and do that one thing. And then when you've done that one thing, do it again. Do this, like, wash, rinse, repeat. And what I find the difference is between people who create these beautiful, dynamic, sensational, individual, unique, tailored dreams for themselves and live in alignment with their intuitive, like, sovereign intuitive knowing, is that they're willing to do the little energetic mental work, which I know Jeremy is really good at teaching people. And I encourage to do, which is to notice if you're contracting, right? So Maddie, can I ask you the thing that you're procrastinating or planning? Can I use it as an example? Otherwise make it up.
Taking my horse to the Olympics.
That is phenomenal. Okay. That is so fun. All right. So how I would do this with a client is like, cool. Give yourself permission to have that, you know, be like, this is landed in my heart, which means it's meant for me. The universe is not doing a cosmic fucking joke. It's meant for me. Holy wow. That's phenomenal. Give yourself permission to have that. And then feel it, like I see Jeremy grinning at me, and then feel that. And then just check in to see if there's contraction around that, or if there's these little like niggly stories or bullshit about like, I can't have it, or it's not possible for me, or I'm like a mum or Aussie, or I earn this much money, or I have this job, or I don't have, like all the, any excuses that come up to say that we can't, whatever it is, look at them and then realize that. And Greg Braden's really good at like teaching the science around this, and I love it. We kind of basically exist in a universe of a quantum soup, so to speak. And we get to choose, like we get to choose what we believe. And there are infinite realities of what are possible right now. So we could choose the one where we can't because, or it's not possible because, or doubting and scarcity, or we could question those thought processes and ask, what's the opposite of that? Is that really true? What else might be possible? How could I get curious about like a solution to this? Opening up your mind and looking and reframing any doubts, anything that says that you can't, right? Deleting, removing that. Then remaining in the energy of it and taking any action that's available to you towards creating it. That's my advice on creating anything and making sure at the same time you're not making it this thing, like, oh my God, there's this thing. It's like, cool, it's this thing. So you're in the energy of quite a relaxed state that it's sustainable for you to get there. So you don't get there and then burn out. So that it's like, you know, it's yours. So you're relaxed about it. You're not like getting up and amping yourself up and building up the courage. You're like, you're in the energy of it so much so that the thing that makes sense next is for it to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't make your dreams a thing. Make them like known that they're for you and then relax into it and align with them. Mm-hmm. Is that supportive?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's almost like, Ams, you have to sort of detach from acquiring the thing, or like if the dream is to take your horse to the Olympics, you have to almost let go of the idea of wanting to take your horse to the Olympics in a way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like there's this kind of, this is the head fuck, right? It's like, oh, you want that? Well, you have to not want that. You have to be okay not having that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but you want that. You actually have to take steps towards that thing while simultaneously not caring if you ever get there, because the journey is the destination. Namaste. Like,
Namaste. Yeah.
How do you unpack that? Or like, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that are that I truly believe that the universe and the invisible forces are guiding us. I believe that 100%. And I also believe that we have free will and choice, and that we get to make up whatever we believe. And that when something like that lands in my heart or my mind, I assume that my soul is taking me towards that for my own growth, and that the thing that it's given me, like the carrot that it's dangled, might not be the place where I'm going to end up. But whatever I learn and create and grow into on my way there is actually what I desire at a deep level. So I detach from the carrot and I assume that I'm going to receive the energy of whatever it is that I'm dreaming and desiring along the way. So that means that I know that I'm working towards my own growth and I'm following that whatever thing that's in alignment with me that I dream and desire. And the human part of me is like, fuck yeah, growing. And the soul part of me is like, woohoo, we're on the right direction. And we kind of like match those and off we go. And I kind of dangle the carrot in front of my human part and being like, you're going to get the carrot. And my soul's kind of like, I'm not really going for the carrot. We're just going for what you're going to like feel when you get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you chase the feeling and you accept that potentially your dream might change, that you're that your heart might change its mind, and that you trust that the path is the path for, regardless of the perceived destination, let's call it.
And I'll switch it a bit. I follow the pull and I get into the feeling now.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So because remember that we can embody whatever we want to feel now. We have that choice. We often put off our feelings, like put off joy until we get to the thing. We put off happiness. We put off feeling secure until we get the thing. And that's what fucks us up. Right? Whereas we can embody that and choose that right now and work towards the external thing while trusting that the universe is rearranging itself. And something that I like to say to my human self to calm it down sometimes is, if not that, then something better.
Mm. Yeah, like I've described it to clients. It's like, oh, if you want to take your horse to the Olympics, right? It's like you just do that because, not because you'll go to the Olympics, but because this is just the pull, right? And that because of that, like maybe you'll meet your husband, or maybe you'll win a free ticket to Japan and start a business herding goats out there or whatever. It's like, that's the path, period. And so our job is simply to walk the path.
100%. Right? That's it.
Okay. That was helpful for me personally. So thank you. okay. Yeah. Kim, you've got a question.
I do. Amber, I'm so happy you're our guest this week because everything out of your mouth is speaking directly to me and I love it. So thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, too.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that I've been thinking about and some of the words that you used resonated with me. And I recently had a conversation with my partner about something. And he said, well, wouldn't that be so lucky if we get to choose what we want to do? Like, we have to suffer was basically what he was saying, right? And I said to myself, mm-mm, that doesn't feel right to me. I don't even think that the pursuit of my own joy and my happiness is not just a need simply, it's a requirement. It's a requirement. And I heard you use the word requirement a couple of times, and I just wonder if there's anything else you could say around that.
It sounds like what I said resonated with what you already knew, and you're asking for confirmation if that's right. So I'm just going to say it is.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like to me. And I mean, brave and courageous, and I can speak to it as well, like 100%. And I want to honor that it can be difficult sometimes when it's like your partner is like, wow, you know, and this is a question I get a lot. I don't know if you want me to speak to that or not. And you can nod or shake your head, or you want me to go down requirement. Would that be helpful if I spoke to that, guys, about like when we're kind of moving and then someone else was like, what? I have a program called Supercharge, and I basically teach this understanding and way of being and blah, blah, blah. And so it's a question that I deal with a ton. In short, there's two things there. One is that because of conditioning, because of the part of us that likes to suffer and is addicted to suffering and likes to stay alive with the suffering and pain, and because of maybe the world wars, I believe, scarcity and pain have almost been like an endearing badge of now I have permission to receive. And also, I don't believe we're lucky, because luck means that we don't have the power to co-create. And I don't believe that. I believe we're all co-creating with life itself at all times based on our choices, our energy, our frequency, and our beliefs. And on the thoughts of requirement, I don't think... I'm so passionate about giving people permission to follow that pull, as Jer was saying, that path that we forge. And using the word requirement, I think really strengthens that point and drives it home to say, like, you must do it. But in the end, we don't have to fucking do anything. And so even though I said that passionately and I believe that, I think that at the same time, if we're very relaxed about it, then it allows us to actually follow that path. Does that make sense? I know I'm kind of now backtracking a little bit, but if I say requirement too many times, your brain might make it a thing, and I don't want to make it a thing. But I truly believe with every ounce of my being that we're meant to follow that magnetic pull, that that is for our higher consciousness. It's for our greater good. It's for the universe. It's what brings us joy. It's what we're here to experience, to self-realize, to heal, to create, to give, to be generous, to be cyclical about the energy and the contribution that we make and receive through that contribution at the same time. And that the paradigm of it having to be hard is a paradigm that's dying. It needs to die, is outdated, sucks balls, sucks the life out of us, takes away our power, and that we are not lucky, that we are powerful and we co-create and we can choose that at any moment. And if there are people who don't yet realize that, you don't need to make that mean anything other than the fact that it ensures that your work is to still remain in your own power, because the most phenomenal and impactful way of supporting another to realize what I just kind of said and what you already knew is to just be it. And do not, please, please, please never, ever, 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 ever subscribe to the story that someone else needs to see the world and have their own freedom in order for us to feel happy, well, and aligned, that you can love them and feel alive anyway. Does that make sense? Did that answer the question? Okay, good.
Yeah, and then to play kind of devil's advocate, it's like, how do you do that if you're married or if your kids are there or if your coworkers are of a completely different mindset? How do you have that dialogue or that conversation with people who you have to be in collaboration with or that you have to live with, like,
yep,
i.e. family, for example?
Yep. Honestly, I don't think we have to have a dialogue about it. I don't think we need to. We can choose to. And if you're going to choose to do that because you feel that's right for you, then make sure you get in the energy of unconditional love and acceptance and own. Because the reason that we get a little bit narky and upset about it is because we're not giving ourselves permission to honor that that's what we know is true. Because when you're really like, this is so right for me, if someone's like, bullshit, you're like, okay, that's all right. Like, this is what I believe. And you don't have this like niggly need to prove, because in your soul, you've accepted that that is you and that's your truth and that's what's right for you. There's no need to prove it. There's no need to defend it. There's no need to show them it. Because if we want someone else to see it and we're like, I just want them to feel this because then they'll be so happy and free. Subconsciously, that's bullshit. That's you having a little bit of your happiness embedded in their freedom. There's this story that like, if they're free, then I can be more relaxed, where it's like someone else's point of view of the world or experience of the world has nothing to do with my emotional well-being. So I don't think we need to have those conversations. I think we need to work on, I don't think we need to work on it. I think we can know that if we just choose to own, like, this is my truth, and work on owning that in ourselves and being so okay with that and trusting ourselves, then if that conversation comes about, then we can do it in a way where we're sharing, but we have no attachment to whether or not they see it that way or they learn this thing or they even understand us. Is that helpful?
Yeah. And I feel like there are still some times when you're like, say your ex-husband and you share the kids.
Yep.
Half the week, right? And that person is of a very much different perspective on the world and how the world works and the way that they show up and the way that they speak and all of these things, right? And so there, I think there are times when, like when there's skin in the game, so to speak, that you need to address these kinds of things. You're suggesting to simply... not simply, but you're suggesting to kind of live the answer.
I am.
Right?
I am. And if someone asks you about it, you can say whatever you want, but you're inviting in suffering if you put any weight on them understanding you, because you can't control that.
Hmm. That's so good. It's like
the conversation might be there, and you can have it as long as you're okay with the fact that they might argue with you and they may never understand you and they may never feel the way that you're feeling, and that's okay.
And this might not ever work out the way that you really hope that it could, and that you know that it can. And like, yeah, practicing that acceptance and humility piece.
100% acceptance on knowing your life and living your life and accepting whatever anyone else chooses to believe, see, feel, experience, understand.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got, I think we've got, I'm going to call it a real question, but then there's also somebody requested, how about the funniest, and then in parentheses, shareable Jer story. So maybe ponder that for a moment, and then I'll queue up the next question, the next hopefully real question, unless it's that same one. Sunflower, let's get you up here. Questions?
Hello.
Yep.
Yes. You were talking about if your partner is kind of not on the same wave as you, and so I'm realizing that that's what had happened, and my ex had passed away. So there's this unfinished conversation. So how do you move through sort of acknowledging the differences and saying it's okay?
I have something I can send you to help with that. I can send it through Jer if you like. Firstly, I want to acknowledge that I can't imagine what that feels like, and that there's probably a cocktail of grief and pain and fear and all sorts of things. And I really see that, and I honor you kind of speaking to that and going, can I have some support? And I hear you. And I'll do my best to answer that. Just nod or shake your head. I'll ask you some questions, or you can turn yourself off mute. Do you believe that our spirits live on?
Oh shit, I just muted her. Sorry to interrupt this very significant dialogue, but I am an unprofessional podcast host. Okay, carry on.
Yes.
Okay. And do you believe that if you're able to express yourself to this person or this person's essence, that that will bring you a sense of like relief? Is that what it feels like? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
So what's stopping you from doing that? Would it help if there were people to hear or see or witness that? And if so, I'm sure that this group would be more than willing. And what I also know to be true is that the written word is powerful, even if it's illegible. And I know that the spoken word to the night sky is also exceptionally healing. And I know that not tensing from that pain that you feel and actually relaxing your whole body and dropping into your belly and feeling that level of grief that you feel and letting that just move through you beautifully and forgiving yourself for whatever you're judging yourself for, that I can feel coming through. Immense amounts of self-compassion in this circumstance would be exceptionally recommended. And that you could never do anything wrong. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't miss a chance. You didn't miss an opportunity. That person's spirit is alive and available, and we're all deeply connected. And just know that you can express that at any point when you're ready. And that I'll share a letter with Jeremy. It's called a love letter, and it goes through grief, anger, blame, pain, hurt, into deep love and gratitude. And it's a healing process that you can do with a cup of tea or a bottle of wine. I don't recommend the wine, and being inebriated is not always helpful, but maybe a glass of organic vino. I'm sorry, I'm encouraging your clients to drink, Jeremy. But most of all, what I feel coming through sunflower, it's my favorite flower, is self-forgiveness. Yeah? Would I be landing on something there?
Incredibly, yes.
So you have, give yourself permission to do that. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Well, that was fucking awesome, wasn't it? I didn't anticipate doing coaching, but if anybody else has some questions for Amber, now is the time. If not, we're going to move on to the funniest shareable Jer story. If there's one that comes to mind, if not, I can ask other questions.
Yeah, I didn't think about it.
Yeah, there's not that many like that stand out. Well, I mean, just on that topic of what Sunflower asked, do you have anything more to say about forgiveness and self-forgiveness in particular? Are there things in your own past that you held on to that you had to learn to let go of?
Two major things come to mind. The story that I shared with you about that relationship that I remained in. I was so embarrassed. I felt so humiliated for being in a relationship where I was so, what the feeling was is that I was hoodwinked, you know, that I could be tricked. I had such sense of shame and failure and humiliation was like, it just, for whatever reason, that sense, that feeling humiliated and helpless to humiliation really got to me. And I had to, like, I remember being, after leaving that relationship, on the floor in the fetal position as my nervous system told me that I should go back because it had trained. And when I was younger, it was so familiar with its needs not being met. And, you know, from being out of utero and my mum not being able to handle life and going to the pub and me being an infant days, weeks, months old with no one to feed me, no one to change my nappy, no one to hold me when I was crying my eyes out. My nervous system was like, this is what love is. This is what home is. And so I had to truly hold myself and allow myself to acknowledge that happened and that hurt and it was painful. While at the same time, understanding that you can never be alone and we are so infinitely connected and held by love and the divine and all of that jazz. And it's that paradox of honoring our humanity and honoring what our nervous system felt and what our brain is hardwired to believe and what our emotions feel like. And that it's like, you have to know that you're going to pop out the other side of that. And endless and infinite and unconditional amounts of self-love and empathy to what you would give a child. Feel that and know, like, if you can imagine the amount of love and empathy you want to pass on and give to every newborn baby so that they would not feel the pain that maybe you felt in your life or stories that you've heard. Know that that's available to you, that level of love and empathy, and bring that back into your own being and body during any process where you're trying to, when your mind kicks into judgment, because shame is the most toxic and damaging emotion that we have, and it's paralleled with our fear of it. So not only do we not like to feel shame, we're afraid of it. So we've got two kind of automatic reflexes and protective barriers away from shame. So just know that this sense of shame is almost like a collective wound in the a bigger collective wound that is often fed by our own judgment, and to know that judgment will not do anything, that it is a reflex habit of that part of the mind, and to always remember the truth, which is that you deserve unconditional love. Every being, every human deserves to feel deep amounts of unconditional love and have their needs met and have their dreams created and manifested and to self-realize. And that's the bottom line truth of your existence. So when fear kicks in, remember that and give yourself empathy and know that you did the best that you could and that you still deserve love and that you are worthy of all of this.
I like that. That was good. It reminds me of, like, I often try to think about toddlers. And in the sense that, like, you see a toddler and you're like, when they're learning shit, right? And you're like, don't put that in your mouth. That's sharp. Don't walk over there. You'll fall down, right? And sometimes they listen and then they learn and they internalize and embody it, right? Other times they just go and walk off the stairs and fall down and smash their head. And you're like, I told you not to walk over there. This is what happens when you walk over in that place you're not supposed to walk, right? And at that level, it's very simplistic. Like, we all understand that. Of like, oh yeah, I get it. But then we get to adults and it's like, you stayed with that man that was emotionally abusive when you knew that you weren't supposed to do that. And what happened was your life fell apart for months or years at a time. Like it's the same sort of idea as the toddler learning not to fall down the stairs, but because it feels so intense and because we think we're so smart and so sophisticated, we judge ourselves and shame ourselves when really it's like a thing happened. You learned a lesson, move on. Don't make that mistake again. Or a thing happened, you didn't learn your lesson, so you went and made that mistake again and the same shit happened again, right? And that cycle kind of perpetuates.
And here's the thing, Jer, like, and this kind of couples with addiction because just like heroin, that relationship was very addictive for, you know, trauma bonds are, they feel like addiction. They feel like heroin, that they're intoxicating for a reason. Like, and as you're saying that, just like anything, if we shame the behavior that we're trying to stop, we only perpetuate the behavior. So as you were saying that, what I thought of, and I got this kind of visual of that process of when I was talking about being in the fetal position, when you delay having self-empathy, you delay your freedom, you delay your healing, you perpetuate pain and suffering, you perpetuate more of the behavior, but most of all, like, you delay the wisdom. Because I don't think anything is ever a failure or wrong. I think it's all just a learning experience. So if you withhold empathy and love from yourself, you're also withholding your own wisdom and experience of life.
Mm. Yeah, I like that perspective. We've got another question, Ams.
Yeah?
I'll turn it over to Martina. She just has to...
Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Hi, darling. I was listening to Sunflower before and my heart really went out to her. And it's so strange because before this call today, I've gone through so much as well. And I looked at my children and I thought they were born just to be loved. And I look at every human being, whether they're right or wrong with their actions, no one chose to be who they are, you know? And I don't know what it was this morning. I do a lot of work and I teach a lot of people myself and a lot of clients, and I'm so good at giving them so much guidance and no bullshit. There is no bullshit. But this morning, I don't know what it was. I felt this, the world in general, we can all say this love. We can all say that we've got to come from love and be loved, and it's easy to say. And then I thought about my family dynamics and I thought, wow, you know, my children, I look at them, and because we're just separated, divorced, I did everything, threw it all up. Why not throw it all in COVID as well? Let's just put it all in the bag and let's see what pops out. And you know what? I looked at it. My ex-husband's not a bad person. He's just got addictive behavior, goes back the same way. Can't cope, let's just go do that. Doesn't know how to. But I've been giving him a lot of love, sending him a lot of love. Everyone wants it. They need it. Yeah, they've got to step up. They've got to do the work. They've got to be accountable. Stop not. You don't have to apologize, but your actions will show that. So it's funny. Before I even got on here this morning, I made a phone call. And I said, hi, we need to sit down. We need to have a chat. No bullshit chat. No walking around the door. No slamming phones down. We need to have an adult conversation. Because there are two children here. That they want to learn love. They want to be loved. How are we going to give them that opportunity and that safety to feel love? So we've got to work together. No more blame. No more this. We all fuck up. We all make mistakes. But I think we all just go back and we bang on about that. That was your fault. That was your fault. That, no, we all make mistakes. But, and that's where I came really full circle. I can be really, I'm not backing down here. You know, I've got a lot of presence. I'm staying where I am, right? But I thought, my God, I work from love. I'm not working from love, if that's my thought process, you know? So it was really beautiful. And in his same response, I'm just in the car with Ali. She's doing a drive. And I said, no, fucking course she is. You know, he's never present. That's okay. It's okay. But it was very beautiful. And when I heard Sunflower, I just, oh, my God, I just wanted to grab her, you know? Like, I can relate. So, yeah, it's quite bizarre what the energy world spins out of my top today. And it just happened before I got onto here. So, you know, about this love, do you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to say.
It is.
But we have to empower love and peacefulness. I want peace. I want peace for everyone on this screen. I want peace for the whole world. But I just, you know, it takes a little bit of time. But we're being programmed and patterned so many ways that it's hard to come out, and it's work. So I'm so blessed to be here today and to hear that and to feel that. And then I bizarrely had this phone call before I got on the screen, you know, and I know that that's going to be a beautiful moment where we let the ship just go. You just got to let it go, you know, and for the sake of the humans, as you would know, being left as a child or anything like that, these kids who have everything still feel that as well. And yeah, so thank you. And thank you, Sunflower, for, you know, but it's hard about this love, you know, and that's what I've been learning, lots and lots of peacefulness, love, but true, true feelings, which I've always had anyway. But when I see two other souls impacted, it doesn't wash. I don't like it, you know, it just.
So Martina, maybe that's a good question though. Like what I think I'm hearing is like, Ams, like how do you embody love as a practice for people that you might not get along with, people that you might not agree with, people who are driving you cuckoo up a tree? Like, do you have any tips for that? How to stay in a loving place?
Yeah. And I want to refer to what I was saying at the very beginning. And I was thinking about this around the same as intuition and fear. It's often like a topic and people are often asking, how do I tell the difference like between intuition and fear? And I feel like because the left part of our brain likes to be like, this is how it's done. Cool. I'm going to take these steps. Now I've got it. It doesn't work like that. Intuition will only, it's always there. Same with love. You have to consciously take yourself to a state in order to be able to feel it and experience it. And so it's less about like the doing and more about being practices, like being comma practices or being practices. Jay, what's my, can you fix up my punctuation?
Yeah, no comma needed.
Yeah. No comma. Being practices.
Yeah.
That support your capacity to allow that to come out. It's already there, or there in. And it's great to know that you're, you know, have conscious incompetence at times, which, you know, the other day I was super hormonal. I was like premenstrual, and I could hear my boyfriend like breathing in the next room, and I was like, motherfuck is breathing loud, you know? And I was like, oh man, being a woman's so fun sometimes, you know, don't breathe. Anyway, so I was like, oh, I need to go and breathe. And I just like took myself out and just, again, I'm repeating myself and I can hear it and feel it, but it's probably necessary. It comes back to the basics of remembering, like, love, just like intuition, is something that you cannot contain, you cannot control, you can't produce it, you can't, like, I know we often say, like, practice love or anything. It's actually something we need to let come out of us, and that is we can do that in our, with our body and our breath. Like the breath is the only thing that happens unconsciously that we can also consciously control, that can change the way that our heart beats, that can change the way that our chemistry in our mind works, that can change the hormones going on in our system, that can change the coherence and the wavelengths of our brain state, of our thinking. And when we do that, we take responsibility for what we can control. And then when you are grounded in your body, and I talk like this has been such the topic lately, it's like, get in your body, get in your body, get in your body, get in your body, relax into it, and the energy will do the work in. And you won't have to be like, okay, what would love say? How would love respond? You're just going to do that. Sometimes, like me, when I'm just like emotionally overloaded, or I've done too much work and my nervous system is like hit jack, and I don't know, like someone cuts me off and I'm like, motherfucker, you know, it's like sometimes you have to realize you are consciously needing to practice and be competent at being kind and compassionate. And that's your stuff. And then as often as possible, nourish and look after yourself, your mind, your emotions, your nervous system. Do things that bring you a lot of joy and love, because then your tolerance for that state will increase. Because I'm not sure if you knew this, but we have different tolerances for joy and happiness. We're used to like quite negativity and you know, instead of optimism. So increase your tolerance for joy and being optimistic and love and abundance, and do that in your everyday moments, so that when you get to those moments, it's a natural occurrence and it just flows from you.
So just be love.
Yeah. Do less, be love.
Just that.
Yeah. Use your breath.
Breathe. Breathe more. Breathe deeper. All right. Ams, is there anything else that you have to say? I don't think does anybody else have a final question for Amber? I'm conscious of her time and your time. But if not, is there any final thoughts or words of wisdom?
I think I probably just want to drive home that when your mind is busy, your emotions will be busy. Like just, and the funny story I'm getting to, Tracy, when your mind is busy, your emotions will be busy. And I mean it when I say utilize your breath, like breathe coherently through your nose. It will tell your heart rate variability. Your heart communicates to your brain 60 times more than your brain communicates to your body. So when you breathe coherently, which is evenly rhythmically through the nose, your heart rate variability is like, it's a bigger variability, but it's even and beautiful and rhythmic. And it tells, you know, your vagus nerve says to your brain, hey, everything's good. We can calm down. Your nervous system chills out. Your happy hormones go up. Your stress ones go down. Your chemistry changes. Your gut health increases, which is responsible for most of your serotonin, your feel-good hormones going up. So we can do so much for our own selves on a very basic fundamental level before we go to like, how do I be loved and enlightened? And just like come back to these things, and you will feel in such balance and you'll be able to follow those intuitive guides. So come back to your breath as often as possible. Don't take life too seriously, and know that if you can get into a state of embracing, like being like you can embrace life rather than brace for it, then you'll feel like it will move through you rather than getting stuck and caught on things and getting up in here. So use your body, use your breath. That's it.
Funny story. Is there a funny story that comes to mind? You always told that one about me like growing the things or whatever.
There's just so many adorable stories about you. Like you're just adorable.
I'm just like a weird little man that will do weird little things, I feel.
You're not a kind of weird man. I think probably my favorite recent story was when we were in Costa Rica, and I was like, come and do 100 burpees. And you're like, I'll do 10. And I was like, 100. And then you whinge for at least like an hour, maybe 10 afterwards around the burpees. And you needed like repetitive validation about how great you were that you completed this burpee-ness. And I just think...
I was unfit and you were very fit, and burpees are fucking miserable. especially in the tropical heat. We can all agree.
And my other favorite thing is when our house in Costa Rica broken into, and you like proceed to go through the house and find like a bat, like a bat, as if you were gonna like do something about the robber.
Like, yeah, I had like a crowbar.
A crowbar.
Yeah. That was a bummer. Yeah, our house got robbed when we lived in Costa Rica, and they stole a bunch of money.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
What's even more hilarious is because Trevor Bohm was there, who's like a former cage fighter.
Yeah.
And I still was like, I'll get the crowbar, and I'll handle this. As if I wouldn't just be like, Trevor, there's a man over there.
I remember we asked you what you were going to do, and you're like, get the crowbar, and we asked Trevor, and he like said some extremely violent thing, like so naturally. He's just like, I would do blah, and we're all like, oh, okay.
I was like, do you want the crowbar? Like, yeah. Anyway.
Other than that, my other favorite memory is Jeremy caring for his tiny baby seedlings with like the care of looking after a newborn child. And I was like, what you doing, dear? And he's like, plant my seedlings. And it was like my favorite memory.
Growing stuff. Gotta grow stuff. Gotta grow stuff. Gives you purpose. Amber Hawken, you're a fucking gem of a human. I just love the shit out of you. I know you're on Instagram and you have a website. Is it amberhawken.com? And you know what's a funny story is the Calm Mind Project.
So I have a business called Calm Mind Co. And it was called Calm Mind Project. And I was talking about it for maybe 3 months.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy finally pipes up after 3 months of living with me and me talking about this other business that I was going to start. This is a couple of years ago. And he's like, Ams, who's Calm Mind? And I was like, what? And he's like, Calm Mind. Like, what's it stand for? And I was like, Jeremy, Calm Mind. And he's like, oh. Thought it was a bit weird you named it after someone, and I was like, for fuck's
sake. I thought it was the Carmine Project for months, and I was like very supportive. I never asked a question. I never said, hey, that's a kind of a weird name for a meditation school. That was a funny thing. That's a very good example of me doing weird little man things. Like, oh.
Yeah, like I'm just going to agree and nod. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carmine Project. Cool. Yeah, red hot. Support it. Love that.
Thank you.
So that's like an inside joke that you and I have now, I guess. Like,
come on.
Yeah, how's the Carmine Project going? Yeah.
Yeah. I love you all, guys, by the way. Thanks for having me, Jay. I just wanted to say you guys are all phenomenal.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I'll put some links in the show notes if you're listening later and want to check Ams out. She's powerful and fantastic. And you have a podcast as well that I've been on. What else do you want? You have a book called the what is your book called?
The Unfuckwithable Life.
Yeah, The Unfuckwithable Life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yep. Maybe you can find out whatever else on socials. It's easy enough. Message me. If anyone wants to privately message me, feel free. Mm-hmm. I love that shit talking to you guys. Beautiful.
All right, Amber Hawken. Thank you very much.
Mwah. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was a podcast thing. So how do I unmute? I don't know how to do it. Can we unmute each other and then clap for Amber and show her love and affection?
Sure.
You're the best. What a great pink wearing human you are.
How cool is this shirt? I got it for £3 in London a year ago. Wow.
Bargain, mate.
Bargain.
Well, that was fun. I don't have anything else to say. I just felt like you deserve some love and claps. And like, if anybody else has anything you want to add, now's your chance. If not, that's also fine.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much.
Appreciate you being here. Yeah. Okay. All right, friends. We'll see you in the Telegram group. And I have a workshop in 2 weeks that we'll be back here.
Love you all.
Hey, bye.
Thank you.
See you tonight.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
That's it. Team Never Giver Upper, my monthly membership group of badass, kind-hearted humans who are supporting each other and encouraging each other. You can learn more about it at the link below. Click it. I will send you all the deets. Join me for a monthly workshop. Join me for a monthly live Q&A with an expert. Join me in your pocket or purse. You can just text me directly. I answer questions. The community is rad. I think you'll dig it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Do check Amber out on Instagram and the website. Thanks for the 5-star reviews. You're a gem. You're a big, shiny fucking gem. And the world is better because you are you.